堂听 class.com。
Model Test 2, Section A, Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Number 11. It's the next house on the left. How much will that be?
The fare is on the meter.
Question. What kind of job does the man have? Number 12. Look at that big field of cotton. And there's a farm with some beautiful house.
You really get to know the country when you go by train, don't you?
Question. Where did the conversation most probably take place?
Number 13. I still think that $500 for such a small apartment is too much for me.
Well, I think it's quite worth the money. Okay. Let me give you a 10% discount.
Question. How much will the man pay a month if he rents the apartment?
Number 14. I heard that as many as 48 students took part in the competition. But only 1/3 finished the whole run.
Yes, but the first 3 winners will represent our school to compete with other universities.
Question. How many students finished the running competition?
Number 15. Jessica, could you forward this email to all the club members?
Sorry, the computer broke down this morning. I will do it for you as soon as I have it fixed.
Question. What does the woman imply? Number 16. How do you spend your weekend?
I usually go shopping or go fishing or go to a movie.
Question. Which is not mentioned in the conversation?
Number 17. I have a sore throat and I feel a bit dizzy.
How long have you been like this?
Question. What's wrong with the woman?
Number 18. Professor Wong, what is the homework for this lesson?
Do exercise 2 and 3 on page 15.
Question. What's the homework for this lesson?
Now, you'll hear 2 long conversations. Conversation 1.
We seem to be having this conversation over and over again.
You're right.
Look, I know how you feel about my smoking. You don't have to tell me every day.
I'm sorry, but I worry about you.
I know, but work and school have me so stressed out. Maybe I'll be able to quit after I graduate.
Let's be honest. It's always going to be hard to find a job. Then there will be the stress from just starting a job.
Okay, I get your point. It's just so hard. You don't really understand because you never smoked.
You need some help. Why don't you go to a doctor?
You mean a psychiatrist?
No, I don't. I mean a general practitioner. Maybe you can get a patch or some pills. Well, I don't know, something to help you with the withdrawal. Because that's what it is.
Really? I believe I can quit on my own. But I'll think about it. I will.
All right. I won't mention it for a week. Then I want to know your decision. Because if you don't get some help, I need to rethink our plans.
You mean you break our engagement over this? I can't believe it.
I don't know. I love you, but I'm not sure I could accept everything that goes along with the smoking. Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Number 19. What is the main topic of this conversation?
Number 20. What does the woman suggest?
Number 21. How does the man feel about the woman's decision?
Number 22. What can we infer about the woman? Conversation 2.
Honey, the basketball game is about to start. Could you bring me some chips and a bowl of ice cream? And a slice of pizza from the fridge.
Anything else?
Nope. That's all for now. Hey, hun, you know, they're organizing a company basketball team, and I'm thinking about joining. What do you think? What do you mean? I was the star player in high school.
Yeah, 25 years ago. Look, I just don't want you to have a heart attack running up and down the court.
So, what are you suggesting? Should I just abandon the idea? I'm not that out of shape.
Well, you ought to at least get a physical before you begin. I mean, it has been at least 5 years since you played at all.
Well, okay, but...
And you need to watch your diet and cut back on the fatty foods, like the ice cream. And you should try eating more fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And you should take up a little weight training to strengthen your muscles. Or perhaps try cycling to build up your cardiovascular system. Oh, and you need to go to bed early instead of watching TV half the night.
Hey, you're starting to sound like my personal fitness instructor.
No, I just love you and want you around for a long, long time.
Thanks.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Number 23. What does the man want to do?
Number 24. What is the woman's main concern?
Number 25. What does the woman advise about the man's diet? Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. The big town hall clock was striking midnight when Frank began to cross the bridge. The night air was cold and street lamps gave little light. Frank was anxious to get home and his footsteps rang loudly on the street. When he reached the middle of the bridge, he thought he could hear someone coming near behind him. He looked back but could see no one. However, the sound continued and Frank began walking more quickly. Then he slowed down again, thinking there was nothing to fear in a town as quiet as this. The short, quick steps grew louder until they seemed very near. Frank found it impossible not to turn around. As he did so, he caught sight of a form coming towards him. After reaching the other side of the bridge, Frank stopped and pretended to look down at the water. From the corner of his eyes, he could now make out the form of a man dressed in a large overcoat. A hat was pulled down over his eyes, and very little of his face could be seen. As the man came near, Frank turned towards him and said something about the weather in an effort to be friendly. The man did not answer, but asked roughly where Oakfield House was. Frank pointed to a big house in the distance, and the stranger continued on his way. Frank began following the stranger quietly. The man was soon outside the house, and Frank saw him look up at the windows. A light was still on, and the man waited until it went out. When about half an hour had passed, Frank saw him climb noiselessly over the wall and heard him drop onto the ground at the other side. Now Frank knew what the man wanted to do. He walked quickly and silently across the street towards a telephone box on the corner.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you've just heard. Number 26. What was Frank's occupation?
Number 27. What was the strange man?
Number 28. Whom would Frank telephone after he found this? Passage 2. In March of 1981, John Hinckley Jr. attempted to assassinate the United States President Ronald Reagan. President Reagan was coming out of a hotel after making a speech when suddenly six loud shots rang out. One of the bullets entered the president's left lung. His security men rushed him to the hospital, where doctors operated on him for 2 hours. Reagan recovered rapidly and was back in the White House after a few weeks. The gunman was a young man from a well-to-do family. After the shooting, the police searched his motel room and found a letter. The letter was addressed to Jodie Foster, a young movie actress. In the letter, he explained that he wanted to shoot the president in order to impress Miss Foster and make her pay attention to him. The police later discovered that Hinckley had a history of emotional problems. Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you've just heard.
Number 29. What had happened to Ronald Reagan in March of 1981?
Number 30. What was Reagan doing when the things happened?
Number 31. Who was Jodie Foster? Passage 3. People all over the world know what cowboys are. They are the most famous symbols of the days of the Old West. This well-known period of American history lasted only 50 years and was gone by the end of the 19th century. Few people realize how short it really was, or why it ended. One reason it came to such an abrupt end was the invention of a new kind of fencing material called barbed wire. Who invented barbed wire? That's not an easy question to answer. History books give Alphonse Daube credit because he took out the first patent on it in 1867. But some historians don't believe he really invented it. They say that a Swiss-born Texan named John Gillinger came up with the idea first. Gillinger had a lot of trouble with his garden. Cattle broke through his fences and trampled it. Children climbed over the fences and stole fruit off his trees. So he set out to build a fence neither of them could ignore. He took two strands of smooth wire and twisted them together. Very few inches, he inserted between them dangerous barbs made out of sharp pieces of iron and small bits of broken glass. Gillinger's barbed wire fence quickly earned a widespread reputation in Texas, and eventually all across the West. Before the end of the century, over 400 different designs for barbed wire were developed and marketed, but Gillinger's idea was yet to be improved on.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you've just heard. Number 32. Who was the inventor of barbed wire according to the history books?
Number 33. What made John Gillinger come up with the idea of barbed wire?
Number 34. When did Gillinger's barbed wire get its reputation?
Number 35. What is not true according to the passage?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Let us suppose that you are in the position of a parent. Would you allow your children to read any book they wanted without first checking its contents? Would you take your children to see any film without first finding out whether it is suitable for them? If your answer to these questions is yes, then you are just plain irresponsible. If your answer is no, then you are exercising your right as a parent to protect your children from what you consider to be undesirable influences. In other words, by acting as an examiner yourself, you are admitting that there is a strong case for censorship. Now, of course, you will say that it is one thing to exercise censorship where children are concerned and quite another to do the same for adults. Children need protection, and it is the parents' responsibility to provide it. But what about adults? Aren't they old enough to decide what is good for them? The answer is that many adults are, but don't make the mistake of thinking that all adults are like yourself. Censorship is for the good of society as a whole. Like the law, it contributes to the common good. Some people think that it is a shame that a censor should interfere with works of art, but we must bear in mind that the great proportion of books, plays, and films which come before the censor are very far from being works of art. When censorship laws are relaxed, dishonest people are given a chance to produce virtually anything in the name of art. One of the great things that censorship does is to prevent certain people from making fat profits by corrupting the minds of others. To argue in favor of absolute freedom is to argue in favor of anarchy. Society would really be the better if it were protected by correct censorship.
Now this passage will be repeated.
Let us suppose that you are in the position of a parent. Would you allow your children to read any book they wanted without first checking its contents? Would you take your children to see any film without first finding out whether it is suitable for them? If your answer to these questions is yes, then you are just plain irresponsible. If your answer is no, then you are exercising your right as a parent to protect your children from what you consider to be undesirable influences. In other words, by acting as an examiner yourself, you are admitting that there is a strong case for censorship. Now, of course, you will say that it is one thing to exercise censorship where children are concerned and quite another to do the same for adults. Children need protection, and it is the parents' responsibility to provide it. But what about adults? Aren't they old enough to decide what is good for them? The answer is that many adults are, but don't make the mistake of thinking that all adults are like yourself. Censorship is for the good of society as a whole. Like the law, it contributes to the common good. Some people think that it is a shame that a censor should interfere with works of art, but we must bear in mind that the great proportion of books, plays, and films which come before the censor are very far from being works of art. When censorship laws are relaxed, dishonest people are given a chance to produce virtually anything in the name of art. One of the great things that censorship does is to prevent certain people from making fat profits by corrupting the minds of others. To argue in favor of absolute freedom is to argue in favor of anarchy. Society would really be the better if it were protected by correct censorship.
Now this passage will be repeated again.
Let us suppose that you are in the position of a parent. Would you allow your children to read any book they wanted without first checking its contents? Would you take your children to see any film without first finding out whether it is suitable for them? If your answer to these questions is yes, then you are just plain irresponsible. If your answer is no, then you are exercising your right as a parent to protect your children from what you consider to be undesirable influences. In other words, by acting as an examiner yourself, you are admitting that there is a strong case for censorship. Now, of course, you will say that it is one thing to exercise censorship where children are concerned and quite another to do the same for adults. Children need protection, and it is the parents' responsibility to provide it. But what about adults? Aren't they old enough to decide what is good for them? The answer is that many adults are, but don't make the mistake of thinking that all adults are like yourself. Censorship is for the good of society as a whole. Like the law, it contributes to the common good. Some people think that it is a shame that a censor should interfere with works of art, but we must bear in mind that the great proportion of books, plays and films which come before the censor are very far from being works of art. When censorship laws are relaxed, dishonest people are given a chance to produce virtually anything in the name of art. One of the great things that censorship does is to prevent certain people from making fat profits by corrupting the minds of others. To argue in favor of absolute freedom is to argue in favor of anarchy. Society would really be the better if it were protected by correct censorship.